This webcast is a service of SDPB. More information at sd.net.
All right. Good morning and welcome to Senate Commerce and Energy. Thanks for those that are joining us online. And just an update for everybody, we had to adjust just a little bit. We've got overlapping committees as we get towards the end of session, so we're trying to make sure it works for as many of our committee members as possible. So with that, we'll go ahead and ask everyone to take a seat, have your phones turned to silent. If you plan on testifying today, please make sure you sign in at the back of the room. This time I'd ask the secretary to please call the roll.
Senators Beal?
Here.
Dibert?
Here.
Hone?
Here.
Carr? Excused. Kolbeck? Excused. Larson?
Here.
No, Kolbeck's here.
Sorry.
Kolbeck, sorry.
Perry?
Here.
Peterson? Excused. Crabtree?
Here.
Mr. Chair, we have a quorum.
All right. Well, thank you. At this time, I'd ask the page, we got one page still here in here, if the page would like to come on up and share where you're from and your plans for next year.
I'm Chloe Brummett, and I don't really have any plans for next year so far.
All right. Well, thanks for coming up and serving in the legislature. At this time, the chair would entertain a motion to approve the minutes of our last meeting.
Second.
Moved by Hohen, seconded by Perry. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Minutes are approved. All right. We've got one bill in front of us today. Let's pick up HB 1007, an act to permit the Public Utilities Commission to recover reimbursement costs from an applicant in a timely manner. Welcome, Commissioner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Chris Nelson, Public Utilities Commissioner. And unfortunately, for a very short bill, I'm going to have to spend just a little time giving a little history as to why we are here. And so, as you know, permit applications for certain large projects are governed under Chapter 4941B, and we've talked a lot about that during this session as it relates to pipelines. And the thought under that chapter is that the cost causer, the applicant, should pay for the expenses of processing those applications. So how does it work? As the PUC staff are evaluating a permit application for a large project, they will spend money to evaluate that permit. And if you look at lines 8 and 9 on the bill, the existing language, it talks about some of the things that our staff will spend money on, and it could be anywhere from meeting rooms to expert witnesses. But costs are paid. And as those costs are incurred throughout the year that we take to evaluate these projects, the PUC pays those expenses. And then monthly, we send a bill to the applicant for the permit and ask for reimbursement for those expenses. That's the way it's set up. There's a statutory formula that sets a cap on the amount of money that can be spent on these. And that statutory cap worked perfectly fine for every docket that we have had under this chapter right up until we got the Navigator Carbon Pipeline. And all of a sudden, it didn't. And in order to properly evaluate the Navigator Pipeline, the PUC expenses exceeded the statutory cap. And by law, that applicant, that cost causer, was not responsible for paying those above the cap costs. Now, we believe that the taxpayers should not have to pay the expenses that are incurred by an applicant. And so that's the backstory. But it's not the focus of this bill, and I will get to the focus of the bill. So last year, the PUC brought a bill, and we asked for that statutory cap to be removed so that never again would taxpayers be stuck paying for the costs incurred by an applicant. Well, as you can imagine, there was some significant pushback from the applicant industry on not having a cap. And so we entered some very intense negotiations last year with those that represent potential applicants for these permits. And we came to an agreement. We came to an agreement we were all good with, and that is, let's leave that statutory cap in place, but let's put in law a circuit breaker. So in the rare case where PUC staff has to exceed the cap, there's a way of doing that by coming to the commission, doing a hearing, evaluate whether those expenses are necessary, and the PUC would approve that. And then that would be appealable to the court system. So there's review. And so that compromise was agreed to by everybody, came through the House, and then, as occasionally happens in the legislative process, one line got stuck into that bill that was not part of the compromise and was not agreed to by all the parties. And that is what we are asking to be removed today. So why are we so bothered by that one sentence? And it is simply this. As I've explained, the PUC has spent the dollars, and there's no question that those dollars need to be paid back to the Public Utilities Commission by the applicant. Nothing's in dispute. Those dollars need to be paid. But the sentence that was added last year says that the PUC, and in turn the taxpayers, have to wait until the next legislative session to send out the bill to the applicant to collect the money that they owe us. And obviously that can create a cash flow issue. In that interim, the PUC is paying interest on those dollars that we've already expended and are unable to ask for reimbursement. And obviously the longer that we wait to send out that request for reimbursement, the greater the chance of non-payment. And if you're scratching your head and you're saying, well, that doesn't make sense, then you're getting the purpose of our bill. It doesn't make sense. And so we are asking that one line that restricts when we can ask for that reimbursement from the applicant be stricken so that we can ask for that immediately as we have been doing. I'm going to close with an analogy. And the analogy is this. Imagine next week after session is over, you go home and you get a call from your neighbor. And your neighbor's gone on vacation. Your neighbor says, I just found out I owe $500 downtown. It's got to be paid today. I'm out of town. Would you go down and pay that for me? And you're being the good neighbor. You say, okay, yeah, sure. I'll go down. I'll pay the $500. And so you do. Next week, the neighbor comes home from vacation. And the neighbor comes over or you go to the neighbor and you say, you know, I went down. I paid $500. Can I get reimbursed? And your neighbor says, well, there's no question. I owe you the $500. There's no question. You've already paid that for me. But the law says you can't ask for reimbursement until the next legislative session. And so I'll see you in January. You're saying that doesn't make any sense at all. Well, that's the exact situation the PUC is in with the current statute and that we are asking to be fixed. And so with that, Mr. Chairman, a long explanation for a very short bill, but it has history, as you know, and so be happy to answer questions when appropriate. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take further proponent testimony at this time. Any further proponent testimony on House Bill 1007? Seeing none, is there any opponent testimony to House Bill 1007? Seeing no opponent testimony, we'll waive rebuttal and move on to committee questions. Yep. Senator Colbeck.
Mr. Chairman, I've got an amendment out there.
Okay. Is that HB 1007A?
A is an apple, yes. Okay. It is published.
Got a motion to amend by Colbeck. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Dibert. Comments on the motion to amend, Senator Colbeck.
Yep. So I sent out an email to the committee this morning, but just so everyone knows, there's actually investor-owned utilities and some telecommunications committee companies that actually contribute to the gross receipts tax fund, and this is just another effort to protect ratepayers' money in the amendment.
Okay, we have motion to amend from Colbeck. Any further discussion on the motion to amend? Seeing none, we'll
Chair,
take Senator Beal.
Could I ask a question? Question to the man with the amendment. Is this considered a friendly amendment?
It's considered a neutral amendment. You can go ahead.
Yes, come on up, Commissioner. I think Senator Beal was asking that question to you.
Thank you, and if I might respond, and Senator Colbeck's exactly correct. We're not going to take a position on the amendment. He and some of his friends were very gracious to try to work with us on this amendment yesterday. We wanted a little bit different language, but we really couldn't find anything that was going to satisfy both of us. And so we've said, we will not oppose this amendment because we really need the substance of the bill to pass. And so we won't oppose it.
Any further committee questions? Seeing none, the question in front of the committee by a voice vote is the motion to amend made by Colbeck, seconded by Dibert. All those in favor of the motion to amend, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. Motion to amend is passed. Okay, we'll move on to any other questions on House Bill 1007 as amended. Senator Hohn.
Mr. Chair, for the prime. Can you just give us... Commissioner Nelson, the average cost of, you know, your dockets versus the cost of the Navigator docket you're referencing?
Go ahead, Commissioner.
If I might, and let me answer the last part of that question first. The Navigator docket was a $555,000 expenditure for the PUC to evaluate that particular docket. If I look back at pipeline dockets, and this would be like Dakota Access, Keystone XL, Navigator Summit, our actual expenditures are going to be somewhere between $250,000 and that $550,000 range. If I look at wind farms, solar farms, transmission lines, it's going to be somewhere between $10,000, and the highest I'm seeing is maybe $275,000. And so they, maybe to sum it up, they really vary depending on what kinds of things we need to look at. What are folks in that area concerned about? What kind of experts do we have to bring in to do a thorough evaluation?
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Senator.
Did you ever get reimbursed by a Navigator?
If I might, so the statutory cap that I had mentioned earlier for that particular project was $271,000. Now, early on in that, the PUC staff talked with Navigator, and both sides realized that we weren't going to get it done for $271,000. And so Navigator agreed to go above that cap and agreed to pay $400,000, which they did. But as I mentioned, it ended up costing us $555,000 to actually evaluate that project. And so they did not pay anything above the $400,000.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, so just to follow up then, that burden came back on the taxpayers.
If I might, that is correct.
Any further committee questions? Senator Colbeck.
You were mentioning taxpayers, and I was mentioning ratepayers. Could you draw the line that there's actually general fund dollars that are actually given, and then just so we differentiate between the amendment addresses ratepayer money, you're actually talking about taxpayer money.
If I might, I consider those to be the same. So let me explain. To fund a large portion of the Public Utilities Commission office and operations, consumers of some of the utility services in this state, and that would be electricity, natural gas, telecommunications, they pay a tax on the value of the services that they receive, and that's referred to as the gross receipts tax. And that obviously goes into a special fund that is used for most of our operations. So it is paid by customers, but it is a tax, yes.
Go ahead. Any further committee questions? Senator Hall.
Can I make a motion?
Yes, go ahead.
I would like to make a do pass motion on HB 1007.
Second. We have a motion from Senator Hohn, a second from Senator Colbeck. Any comments on the do pass motion? Senator Hohn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just, I've been involved in PUC dockets now for the last 10 years, and I know it's an involved, lengthy process, and I appreciate the work that the Public Utilities Commission does in order to meet their burdens of proof. And I just think we need to have this money from these applicants, give them like due diligence and that they should be paying for this up front.
Senator Colbeck.
Yeah, no, I'm just thankful that the Public Utilities Commission, we may disagree on a couple of things, but I think in the end we all agree that whoever is responsible should be paying, and we just need to put some bumpers and find the right vehicle to get it done. And I think we've done this, and I can probably with 100% certainty think that everyone who worked on this bill hopes to be retired for a long, long time before it ever happens again.
Senator Dybert.
So just for clarity, where the motion is as amended, correct?
That's correct, sir. As far as what I would add, I'm not maybe as close to retiring as Senator Colbeck. All right. The motion in front of you is a do pass motion, a do pass as amended, made by Hohn, seconded by Colbeck. Would the secretary please call the roll?
Beal?
Aye.
Dybert?
Aye.
Hohn?
Aye.
Carr?
Aye.
Colbeck?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Perry?
Aye.
Peterson? Excused. Crabtree?
Aye.
Mr. Chair, we have 8 yays and 1 excused.
All right, after receiving a unanimous number of votes, the do pass motion is hereby deemed passed. Unless there's any objections, we'll go ahead and place that on the consent calendar. No matter. No objections? Seeing none. Secretary, please place that on the consent calendar. That wraps up our work here in 2025 for Senate Commerce and Energy. Thank you to each and every one of you on the committee. It's been fun to work with all of you. And a huge thanks to our amazing intern here, Elizabeth. Melanie in here today. We've had Rachel, and I think we had Jacob for a while, so we've had a number of folks from LRC. We've had Ann and Leonard as well. And so we've been really lucky in here. And so thank you all.
Can we give them a hand?
We can. We can.
Senator
Dybert was first.
Thank you. I just want to reach out and say great job, Chairman and Vice Chairman that's not here today, but thanks for the work in the committee so soundly. We really appreciate it.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Carr.
I'm going to dogpile on that. I'm going now. I just want to say I've watched a lot of committees. I've heard a lot of committees over the years. And Senator Crabtree, you run an efficient committee. It's organized. You communicate expectations. And I think that's appreciated by everybody, the public, the testifiers. Everybody behind this desk as well. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Too kind. Senator Beal?
Ditto. Everybody's taking everything out of my mouth. But I just wanted to say to you, Senator Crabtree, is if it wasn't for you, I couldn't have found the door to get in this room. Thank you.
Thank you all. With that, we are going to meet on Tuesday. Just we've got a hearing set up so that we can get together if we want to talk about any of the summer studies that may or may not pertain to Commerce and Energy. But it could be very short, could be long. We'll just see what you guys have to have for an open discussion there, or see if there's folks in South Dakota that want to talk about something over the summer. So we'll have that open and available for the public. At this time, Chair would have a entertaining motion to adjourn, made by Perry, seconded by Beal. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay. We are adjourned.
A service of SDPB. Links to live events and their archives are available at sd.net.